What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
On his way to the end zone.
I'll tell you what, that was a spectacular play.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
What a play! Off to the races! Touchdown! Oh, he's done it again!
Now here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, Heath, and Ben.
Well, we had two top 12 wide receivers in full PPR. One of them was top five. Jamar Chase was outstanding. Jalen Waddle, huge season for him. He wasn't top 12 in non-PPR, half PPR, but he did make the cut in full PPR. Other than that, it was a little bit disappointing for the rookie wide receivers, but we do see a lot of promise and a lot of potential. Welcome to the show on this Monday, getting a new week started, almost getting a new month started. I'm Adam with Jamie. What's up, Jamie?
How are we doing? What's up, buddy? It's good to have you back.
Yes, it's good to be back. Thank you for holding down the fort. Appreciate that on Thursday's show. I love talking about the young running backs. I missed that opportunity, but get to talk about the young wide receivers. And three of them went over 900 yards, which is always a good thing, but it did take 17 games for Devontae Smith to do that. I do have some trivia I'd like to start with if you're interested.
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm calling it 2021 Rookie Wide Receiver Unconfirmed Trivia. And that means I
sounds like a game that you would do.
Yeah, I don't know if these answers are true or correct, but we'll try anyway. Okay, here we go. Of these four, this one's definitely correct. Of these four, who had the highest percentage of his team's receiving yards? Jamar Chase, Jalen Waddle, Devontae Smith, or Amon-Ra St. Brown? Who had the highest percentage of his team's receiving yards?
I'm gonna go with Amon-Ra St. Brown.
You, sir, are incorrect. I have to get the very mean and loud wrong buzzer up to make you feel inferior. Then
the one I was torn on was Devontae Smith.
You know, I thought it was going to be Devontae Smith. It was actually Jamar Chase. He ran away with it. He had 30% of his team's receiving yards. The others were close. Waddle, 25.8%. Devontae Smith, 25.6%. St. Brown, 23.4%. Okay, this one I think is right. But let's see. Take your time on this one. How many rookie wide receivers led their team in receiving yards?
How many rookie wide receivers led their team in receiving yards? I'm going to say four.
Okay, who do you think?
Elijah Moore.
Yeah.
Amon-Ra St. Brown.
How did you get Elijah Moore? He had like 500 yards. Yes, he led the team.
Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Jalen Waddle.
Mm-hmm.
Jamar Chase and Devontae Smith.
Hey, good job. Yes, five. It was stunning to see Elijah Moore led the Jets in receiving, but he did, and St. Brown as well. Okay, Jamar Chase had a 201-yard game and a 266-yard game. Which rookie had the next most yards in a single game? I should say I'm not sure about this one, but I think I got it.
Was it Waddle?
No.
Elijah Moore?
No.
Amon-Ra St. Brown?
No. Single game. Come on, huh? you're gonna be so mad at yourself.
Who was it?
Kadarius Toney.
Oh, right. I forgot about him.
Right, that's gotta be right. 189 yards.
Yeah.
All right, two more. Who had more 80-yard games, 80-yard receiving? Rashad Bateman or Devontae Smith? Or was it a tie?
It was a tie.
It was a tie, correct. They both had three. And true or false, Josh Palmer caught a touchdown in all three games in which he played 60% or more of the snaps.
True.
It is true. I thought that's one of my favorite stats. He played one game without Keenan Allen, he got a touchdown. One game without Mike Williams, caught a touchdown. And yeah, I know you do. I know you're excited about him. So I did a Twitter poll here as we'll run through these guys, these rookies now, sophomore wide receivers. Looking at the 2021 rookies, we're going to put Chase and Waddle as the top two in next season's fantasy rankings. Who should be wide receiver three? And I know from talking to you yesterday on FFT and 5, you're torn between St. Brown, Smith, and Elijah Moore. Early poll results, 130 votes. Devontae Smith, 38.5%. St. Brown, 31.5%. Elijah Moore, 24.6%. Other, 5.4%. Where are you? Who's number three in this class behind Chase and Waddle?
Right now, it's St. Brown for me. As I told you, like you said, FFT and 5, that I want to see, obviously, what the offseason brings for, you know, all three of these guys, because they all could be facing some significant changes. You know, if the Lions and the Jets bring in other receivers, that could certainly change some things. I think we expect the Lions to bring at least one more guy. Jets could potentially as well. And for the Eagles, you know, is it going to be two things? Who's the quarterback? At this point, it's seemingly going to be Jalen Hurts, but you never know if they get into the Russell Wilson or Deshaun Watson or maybe even Aaron Rodgers sweepstakes. And then the other part of it is, philosophically, you know, what are they going to do? Is it going to be more of Nick Sirianni just saying we're going to run, and run some more? And then you're going to see, you know, minimal targets for Devontae Smith. He could still be successful with those minimal targets, but that's the concern because he was trending in the right direction at the start of the season when they were throwing the ball a lot more. And then he started to tail off and was very frustrating as the season unfolded. So love the potential for Devontae Smith. Not a surprise that he's winning the poll. Hopefully he's going to be the third guy because of where a lot of fantasy managers drafted him in dynasty leagues and keeper leagues and whatnot. But you got to be a little bit concerned about where the upside lies if this offense continues in the path that it was headed at the middle to the end of last season.
Yeah. Last in the NFL in pass attempts. That's tough to overcome. And let me ask you if this matters to you when you look at Elijah Moore, who really flashed his last six games of the season. I'll give you the numbers real quick. Last six games.
You have to put that in context, though. Not the last six games of the
his season. Yeah, sorry. 34 catches, 459 yards, 5 touchdowns on 51 targets. That's a 17-game pace of 96 catches, 1,300 yards, 14 touchdowns on 144 targets. It's outstanding, especially when you consider he faced three teams that were top 10 against wide receivers, two teams that were top 3, the Bills and the Eagles. He did well enough against both of them. He only faced one team that was an easy matchup. And this, though, I want to get your thoughts. In that stretch, or basically all season, Elijah Moore did not have any good games with both Zach Wilson and Corey Davis. Most of his good games came without Wilson. And the Jets quarterbacks, in the four games that Elijah Moore went off and Zach Wilson missed, they threw 47 times per game for 356 yards per game. So great passing numbers. Then Wilson came back and was awful, right? And then Corey Davis was missed most of that time too. So I don't know, does that matter to you at all?
I mean, a little bit. You know, it's kind of like what we talked about with the running backs. You know, Michael Carter's best games came without Zach Wilson on the field as well. You know, so I jokingly posed the question, I think, to Chris Towers. I asked them each a key question about each running back situation, and I said, should the Jets go with Mike White as their quarterback? You know, because he was good for the fantasy assets there. At least the non-Zach Wilson quarterbacks were good for the fantasy assets there. We didn't see this Jets offense as a whole really for the majority of the season because Elijah Moore missed some time earlier in the year, and Corey Davis, then he missed time, and then Michael Carter missed time, and then Zach Wilson missed time. That's their four key components there when you talk about the receiving core and the running backs and the quarterback. So I'm hopeful that Zach Wilson takes that next step, that Elijah Moore and Zach Wilson get on the same page. That's the duo that we're going to see for, you know, hopefully many years to come, if in fact they're good. Corey Davis is not necessarily a long-term solution there for the Jets, at least not in my opinion. So we'll see. You know, I'm hopeful for Elijah Moore. You know, he was one of my favorite guys coming out of this class. I know Dave and Heath had, you know, similar feelings as well. You know, I'll go back to the story that I think it was in The Athletic, that he wrote on his mirror. You know, I always think of Rocky with this, but he wrote on his mirror the name of the five guys that were drafted ahead of him, and he looked at that every day. You know, I think of the picture, you know, that Apollo used to put of Rocky and Rocky did of Drago. Those kind of, you know, quirky things always catch my eye. But in any event, I'm excited for Elijah Moore, which is why I say I go back and forth between him and St. Brown with Smith right now in the third spot of the three that you mentioned.
Okay. How good can Ja'Marr Chase and Jaylen Waddle be? What are their ceilings?
I mean, I hate to think that we've seen their ceilings, but you've seen certainly the highs of what Ja'Marr Chase can be. You referenced it, the 200-yard games. I mean, he's just such a difference maker. And as the season went on, you know, it wasn't just the plays down the field. You know, we started to see him do other things. It's pretty remarkable when you think he took a year off of football and was still that good. Mm-hmm. And so the sky's the limit for him to be, you know, the number one wide receiver, I think, in fantasy and maybe for many years to come, because he's with his quarterback who is also trending in the right direction. So Ja'Marr Chase can be an absolute star. And then for Waddle, I think, you know, the addition of Mike McDaniel and the system that they're going to put in, you know, you talked about this a lot, Adam. We've mentioned this with the coaching hire. Yards after catch, so big in San Francisco. And so will he help, and will Tua Tagovailoa also help, you know, just getting Jaylen Waddle in space? You know, does he have the potential maybe to be like a Deebo Samuel in terms of getting some touches in the backfield as well? I know you talked about this a lot. And obviously anybody who watched Jaylen Waddle in Alabama, the explosiveness, we really didn't see that with the Dolphins because of how they used him. And so better offensive line, more time for Tua to throw, getting, you know, Waddle just different opportunities, different ways to get the ball in his hands. He's a top 10 guy for me coming in PPR, you know, top 15 in non-PPR. I love the upside, love the potential. So both those guys, I think, can be, you know, really special talents. Chase could be the number one receiver to answer your question in terms of his ceiling. And then for Waddle, I think he could be maybe, you know, top 8, top 6, top 5 even, you know, if things break right in PPR.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, so that's kind of what I wanted to get. You think he could be top, Waddle could be top 5, Chase could be number 1. It's weird. Chase just had 1,455 yards and 13 touchdowns. He ended up as wide receiver 5. Now, he could definitely be better than Deebo, because Deebo had all that rushing production. You know, he was not better than Kupp, who had this historic season with 1,947 yards. He was not better than Adams, who played one fewer game than Chase, although Chase barely played in week 18. Still had more yards than Chase, but fewer touchdowns. He was not better than Justin Jefferson. The big thing that you got to see the increase in, and you probably will, is catches. It's hard for a rookie to have 81 catches, which is what Ja'Marr Chase had, but Justin Jefferson had around that in his rookie year. He was up to 108 in an extra game in his second year. You'll see more catches. You'll see more PPR production from that standpoint. Obviously, Chase, the pedigree, the rookie production, it's incredible. And yeah, his wide receiver 1 is not out of the question. Where do you have him ranked overall at wide receiver right now?
He's 4th right now, but, you know, Davante Adams' situation is clearly pending. So if Adams ends up, A, with a bad quarterback in Green Bay, obviously if Rodgers leaves and it's Jordan Love or somebody else, B, if he goes someplace else as a free agent, doesn't have the same type of quarterback situation or offensive situation, and, you know, goes the route that we're not hoping to see, you know, with just a complete downturn in unbelievable production for him, then he'll move up. I do think, you know, there was a story coming out of Minnesota last week. I think it was after we did our show, maybe it was Thursday afternoon or Friday afternoon, of the new offensive coordinator there, who's escaping me, I apologize. It's going to be on Kevin O'Connell's staff, saying that they're not going to be tied to a run first team. They're going to be more balanced. And he, you know, he said, they're not getting away from the run. This isn't a bad situation necessarily for Dalvin Cook because of what his role will be in the passing game, but could really just unleash Justin Jefferson. And I think that's the decision a lot of people have to make, is Jefferson versus Chase. For me, it's Jefferson still, but Chase could easily go past him for sure. And I think we could see a situation on a lot of people's draft boards if Adams, again, bad situation, Cup, and then those two guys, Jefferson, Chase, 2 and 3 in some order.
Mm-hmm. By the way, I don't know how you, Wes Phillips is a household name. I didn't Google it. He's just, you know, it's just something that everybody knows now. Wes Phillips is now the Vikings offensive coordinator. If anyone's interested, I don't know that you will. Well, you might be interested. It might not make a difference to you, though. I went back the last 6 seasons and I looked at all of the instances of 2 wide receivers on the same team finishing in the top 15 in PPR. There were 11 instances of teammates finishing top 15 in full PPR in the same season. None of them finished as wide receiver 1. Now, that's in full PPR. It did happen in non-PPR. Davante Adams, 6 years ago, he was the best one that I found. Davante Adams was wide receiver 2 in full PPR, wide receiver 1. No, it wasn't Adams. It was Nelson. And Adams was wide receiver 10. Jordy Nelson was wide receiver 2 in non-PPR, wide receiver 1 in full PPR. Adams was wide receiver 10. other than that, the highest finish I found for a wide receiver who had a teammate finish top 15 was wide receiver 4 for Cooper Kupp in 2019, which was not a great year for receivers, as I recall. So they're out of 11, only one finished higher than 4th. And why am I bringing that up? Because there is T. Higgins, who I think a lot of people are going to have in the top 15. It's just something to keep in mind. But it probably doesn't matter with Chase. He's that good.
Right.
All right. Who has the most upside in this class other than Ja'Marr Chase? Is it easily Waddle?
I think so. But I, you know, just to go a different route, since we know those are going to be the first two drafted, I think you can look at, you know, a lot of scenarios. But I guess the one that makes the most sense to me would be Elijah Moore, just because we saw that sample size of what he could be. And again, I was excited about him coming into the season. Look, Amara St. Brown, if they don't change things dramatically and you get that over, you know, a full season, you know, clearly he was turning into something pretty special. Obviously, fantasy managers, you know, recognize that. And you know how I felt about him coming out last season. You know, once we got past the draft, he was kind of the under the radar guy of the non-obvious ones that I was looking at, just because of his landing spot. You know, it really wasn't anything more than that he went to a situation in Detroit that they didn't have a lot of talent. And it's why we liked, you know, T.J. Hockenson and DeAndre Swift last year. And it played itself out, you know, for, you know, at least two of those guys. And so Amara St. Brown, if he does that, my gosh, you know, he's going to be a star, you know, and could be a top 10 wide receiver. I don't expect him to, but certainly can do that. So I think it's probably those four, you know, Chase, Waddle, Elijah Moore, and St. Brown. And then, you know, look, if the Eagles swing a trade for, let's just say it's Deshaun Watson, and okay, now we just don't have to run the ball and run the ball and run the ball, then maybe Devontae Smith gets unleashed and we know about his potential, what he was expected to do coming into the league.
Yeah, I'm still gonna take Smith, just because I just gonna buy into the pedigree. The answer is who has the most upside other than Chase. The question is, and I guess you eliminated Waddle. He said that was the answer. I guess Waddle have to give it to him, but I just look at the Eagles and maybe they just can't run that type of offense again. I mean, right? Just look at the Ravens, right? And how things went so sideways for them and they became more of a passing team. The Vikings, more of a passing team than we had seen in the past. So if that keeps happening, then, I'm sorry, I got distracted because we have someone else coming on the show to join us. It's Dave, the utility backup guy. Hey, utility backup guy. Can you hear me? No, not yet. All right. I'm going to remove Dave for now. We'll get him back on. Anyway, I know he's going to dominate targets for the Eagles. I think that's what it is for me. And I just want to see Devontae Smith get unleashed a little bit.
I think, you know, based on if you want a piece of this class and the upside, he's the best value. You know, you could say Rashad Bateman, you could say Rondell Moore. I certainly don't, I wouldn't disagree on that, but you know, Smith is going to be drafted 5th most likely of that group. It's going to be behind Chase, behind Waddle, behind Moore, and behind St. Brown.
Dave, you there? No, not yet. Maybe this is fun for the YouTube audience. This is like Marla Hooch getting in and out of the batter's box. Who might have the most downside just based on where they'll be drafted?
I mean, the obvious answer is Chase. I think probably the next one. Huh?
He's got no downside, dude.
Injury to Burrow.
Forget injury. Injury aside, who's got the most downside? And yeah, I just said he has no downside. That is a dangerous comment to make. But go ahead.
Probably it's St. Brown, you know, because again, he was so fantastic at the end of the season. And I mean, you know, the Lions could draft somebody day two, day three, and you're saying, okay, not going to be much of an impact. And then he has the Amon-Ra St. Brown factor, you know, or they bring in, you know, I'm not saying this because I don't think there's going to be a reunion of Marvin Jones in Detroit, but a Marvin Jones type of guy, you know, that type of, you know, second tier free agent type of guy, you know, not like an Allen Robinson or somebody who's had, you know, really significant success, but someone who's had some success and can come in and then just, you know, fall in line with, you know, Jared Goff and those two start to connect, and Hockenson back and Swift, you know, playing, because obviously a lot of St. Brown's production came when those two guys were dealing with injuries. So, you know, I think you're going to see him probably drafted, you know, maybe around 4 in PPR, you know, probably no later than round 5 in both formats or all formats, maybe around 6, you know, so a top 6 round pick, you know, if he doesn't deliver based on those expectations, you're going to be a little bit disappointed.
It's terrifying if you have to, if if I had to take Amon-Ra St. Brown in round four in full PPR, I just couldn't do it. I just think that at wide receiver, right, you really want to attach yourself to good offenses, at least with your early picks. And that's the danger. I mean, you just talked about it, but it, I mean, that's just scares me for a round four pick.
I think, you know, if you're taking him in round four, it's, you know, we're going to start to see, I think, even more of a shift of the modified RB drafting, you know, of one running back and then, you know, probably people leaning heavy receiver. So once you get into, you know, that number three receiver range, that's going to potentially be in round four for a lot of teams, a lot of leagues.
Okay, so I've given this stat before. I'll give it again. This is just looking at top 12 wide receivers. So you can say, well, I'm not drafting him in round four to be a top 12 wide receiver. That might be more like wide receiver 18 or 20. But I think if you draft somebody in round four, you at least want to have the hope that he can be a top 12 receiver. Over the last six seasons, 72 wide receivers have finished top 12 in PPR. Only 11 of them were on offenses that ranked 20th or worse in scoring. That's 15% of top 12 wide receivers were on offenses that were 20th or worse in scoring in the last six seasons. Okay, so let's go to some more questions here. Give me a sleeper in this class, a sleeper.
I mean, Josh Palmer for me, you know, especially if Mike Williams is gone. You mentioned it, you know, when his playing time was up, the touchdowns were there. Obviously, you're attaching yourself to a good offense because of the great quarterback that they have in Justin Herbert. He's not going to do the exact same things that Mike Williams did, but, you know, he's not going to see, you know, certainly the focal point of the coverage when you have a guy like Austin Eckler and a guy like Keenan Allen and whatever else they do, you know, to surround this this group, you know, maybe an upgraded tight end over Jared Cook. So I just like the opportunity for him. Again, it's just something that I'll always look for is a guy stepping into a good situation with a good quarterback and a good system. And I think Josh Palmer showed you some things last year when he had that opportunity. I think he'll continue to build on that. So a guy, another guy that I liked, you know, just not as highly as, let's say, like St. Brown or Elijah Moore, but in a really good spot because of the opportunity if Mike Williams is gone and nobody of significance is brought back in return.
Okay, Josh Palmer is your sleeper. Who's a breakout?
I'll go back to Elijah Moore. You know, just again, the sample size was impressive. Hopefully Zach Wilson continues to grow with him and those two get on the same page and the rapport is excellent. But, you know, just ton of potential, ton of opportunity, and should easily be the number one receiver on his offense, even with Corey Davis still there.
Bust.
I hate to say it, but it's probably Chase. You know, I mean, if you're going to look at it, I agree with everything you say. He seems foolproof, but, you know, what if Higgins is better? What if Boyd still has, you know, a lot to offer? What if, you know, Joe Burrow spreads the ball around a little bit more? What if Heath's, you know, prediction about the Bengals that they are too efficient and we don't see a lot of the big plays for Ja'Marr Chase? So it's just based on draft capital. I'm taking Chase in the first round. I'm not scared of it, but he's the guy. You know, I guess the next guy would be clearly St. Brown, you know, just based on everything that we talked about. But those are the two, you know, based on just the capital that you're going to spend that would, you know, I think fall into that category.
Yeah. And I think you and I are not looking at Ja'Marr Chase as a bust. Like, you and I are fine taking it. I think most people are going to be fine taking him in the first round or early second round. St. Brown's going to make people nervous because it was only six games. It was incredible. But, and also, I mean, you're talking about last year, this great, I don't know how much this is going to matter to people. It's going to matter differently to different people. You had this great, great class of wide receivers. You had three guys picked in the top 11, I believe. What was Smith? 11th, 10th, 11th, 12th, something like that. And 10th. Okay. Three guys in the top, right. The Giants had 11, three in the top 10. And that was Justin Fields went 11 to the Bears. You had two more in the first round. Then you had all these second round guys we liked and St. Brown was in the fourth round. So people might be a little nervous just buying into him depending on where he goes in fantasy drafts. But I think Devontae Smith could be a bust too, as much as I think he has huge upside, but if they do come out and run the same offense, he wasn't even a top 40 wide receiver last year. So, I mean, if you told me right now they're going to run the same offense, they were going to be last in the NFL in pass attempts, or let's say 30th in pass attempts, I don't think I'd take Devontae Smith till round 7 or something like that, if you guaranteed me that.
I just don't know if he's getting drafted before that now anyway.
You don't think so?
Maybe round 6, you know, again, if it's a heavy, you know, wide receiver draft, I think people are just frustrated with it, you know, and knowing that there's going to be a lack of targets, a lack of big plays, a lack of consistent production. And that's, you know, not something that you're looking for. I just want to go back because I found the tweet from Mike Clay in regards to Mike Clay of ESPN does a great job of about Amon-Ra St. Brown. So this is the list of players with 8+ catches in 5 straight games going back to 1950. And the names that Amon-Ra St. Brown is on the list with Michael Thomas, Antonio Brown, Travis Kelce, Anquan Boldin, Wes Welker, Andre Johnson, Marvin Harrison twice, Isaac Bruce, Larry Fitzgerald, Calvin Johnson, and then TJ Husmanzada, Eric Molds, and Musin Muhammad. So yeah. Thomas, Brown, Kelce, Welker, Johnson, Boldin, Harrison, Bruce, Fitzgerald, Calvin Johnson. Just absolutely ridiculous that Amon-Ra St. Brown is with those guys.
Yeah, that's pretty good. And is Dave on that list? I didn't hear Dave Richard on that list.
I heard Husmanzada. That's enough for me.
Oh, okay. Hey, Dave.
Any list that's got Husmanzada on it is a good list to be on.
So Chris was supposed to be on the show today. He's unfortunately sick. So Dave is pinch hitting late in the show. Would you like to play just one round of unconfirmed trivia?
Sure.
Okay. How many?
I've never played this game before. How does this go?
It's just trivia that I think I know the answer to. That I'm not sure. Yeah.
Azer trivia.
How many rookie wide receivers led their team in receiving yards? Jamie got this one right. I was very impressed. How many rookie wide receivers led their team in receiving yards?
This past year?
Yeah. Ever. No, yeah, this past year.
Ever? That'd be a bigger number. Top of the dome guess is 3.
Top of the dome guess is terrible. It's 5. Would you believe 5? Elijah Moore led his team in receiving?
Oh, wow.
So did Chase. Cool. So did Waddle. So did Devontae Smith. So did Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Yeah.
That's your 5.
4 would have been a better guess. I never would have put Elijah in there.
All right. So we've talked. Yeah, I know. It was crazy. I mean, it's for him to.
My first guess.
I know. It was your first guess. Wow. But he had, what did he have? Like 530 receiving yards? 538. All right. So the rest of this segment, I'm going to give you guys a wide receiver. I'm going to give you a name. And then you can just give me some quick thoughts on them. Some guys that we haven't talked too much about. Say, so far we've talked enough about Chase, Waddle, Smith, and Elijah Moore for sure, and Amon-Ra St. Brown. We'll try to cover the other guys. We're going to do that after we take a quick break right here on Fantasy Football Today.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick 6, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Hosts Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick 6 has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick 6 is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Time for some quick thoughts on these rookie, now sophomore, or soon-to-be sophomore wide receivers. All right, Dave, Kadarius Toney, go.
Should be utilized more in a more creative offense in New York.
And Jamie?
Like him.
Jamie? Kadarius Toney?
Oh, the next Stephon Diggs. I agree with Dave. You know, hopefully Brian Daboll unleashes him, but more importantly, hopefully he stays healthy, because I think if he's healthy, he'll produce.
For sure. Kadarius Toney was 15th among wide receivers in missed tackles forced after the catch, and he did that with, I think, 39 catches. So he forced 12 missed tackles on 39 catches. Devontae Adams forced 13 missed tackles on 132 catches. Tyreek Hill forced 15 on 134 catches. That includes the postseason for both those guys. Toney forced 12 on 39 catches, so he's very elusive. All right, next up, Dave.
He was dead in the Saints game by himself?
Probably. Rashad Bateman.
He's the guy that I think the fantasy industry wants to, like, have as a breakout, but I have a feeling that this Ravens offense is going to look like it did back in 2020 and 2019, and he's someone I'm probably avoiding unless he falls in drafts.
Marquise Brown goes and plays video games for a living, and Rashad Bateman becomes a startable fantasy wide receiver in all leagues.
Rondale Moore, who also was very good at forcing missed tackles. He was 12th among wide receivers in missed tackles forced on only 59 catches, I think, for Rondale Moore. Dave, Rondale Moore.
Going to be a popular PPR and half PPR pick. Opportunity is definitely possible because you know about Christian Kirk, AJ Green. Don't know if they're going to be back in Arizona. Don't know who the running backs are going to be. Don't know if Zach Ertz is going to be there. Don't know who the quarterback's going to be either, but it'll probably
be. Oh, we do now.
It seems like it's going to be Kyler. Yeah.
They'd be dumb to move on from him at this point. I think he might be worth taking ahead of Bateman in full PPR drafts right now.
Jamie?
Yeah, I agree. I think, he's going to be popular. I think, they're bringing in somebody or bringing back somebody. They just can't go with the group that they have, especially Hopkins coming off an injury. But Rondale Moore's in a great spot. And, we're going to see a lot of the copycat San Francisco, Deebo Samuel, even, you could throw Cordero Patterson in there, especially after the report of Arthur Blank wanting him back in Atlanta. A lot of these teams are going to try and, I think, do these hybrid type of players, and Rondale Moore fits that bill.
Yeah, Rondale Moore, again, I don't know how much this stuff matters to you. By the way, he had 54 catches on 64 targets. His ADOT was 1.4 yards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's terrible.
And in 8 games, he played 14. In 8 of them, he had a negative ADOT. So he just wasn't... We didn't see him as really a wide receiver. We just saw him as a gimmick player. He had one game all year with an ADOT higher than 5.3 yards. What's ADOT? It's average depth of target. So basically they were throwing him the ball at the line of scrimmage or behind the line of scrimmage in most games. And in that one game, by the way, where he had more than 5.3 yards average depth of target, he only had 4 targets. So, I don't know what to make of that. He has shown us absolutely nothing. So, what does that make him? A pick after round 10? I mean, does he go after pick 120? Is he before that?
Today, he probably goes after that. If they don't address the receiver position significantly, he's going to go before them.
All right, let's get some more names here. Terrace Marshall.
What an absolute disaster he was. Absolute disaster. I hope that they realize DJ Moore should be in the slot and Terrace Marshall should be outside. They do too much of, and DJ Moore's been good, clearly. He's been very productive. As an outside receiver, but he's just so good with the ball in his hands and would be so much better if he got more opportunities playing closer to the line of scrimmage and not necessarily having to just run down the field and make plays, because it shows you what he can do while he's doing that. But I think he'd be an absolute stud if he was in the slot a little bit more. And then Terrace Marshall, much more of a big play receiver on the outside than he is in the slot. They tried to make him this big slot receiver, just didn't work. And so flip those two, give DJ Moore 190 targets and we'll see how he does. But obviously Terrace Marshall, if he's going to be their slot receiver again, it's a complete failure. And we'll see if Robbie Anderson's part of the team too.
I'll disagree a little bit. I think that Marshall and Moore should rotate in and out of the slot. We've seen Marshall play well in the slot in college. I almost want to discount everything that we saw last year from Carolina and maybe like the last several years. They need a quarterback more than they need anything else. And when they do, I think we'd see multiple receivers really do well. And I know that's not really saying a whole lot because 2 years ago, multiple receivers did do very well in Carolina. But we all want DJ Moore to play great. We're all going to draft him higher than probably where he should get drafted. But it's with the hope that he sees uptick in red zone production. Maybe he plays a lot more in the slot and a little bit less outside. Marshall just needs to get in where he fits in. And once he does, I think he can push Robbie off the field, or they go to just more 3 receiver sets. But to me, they got to get the O-line taken care of, and they need a quarterback solution that's better than what they've had the last 2 years.
All right, so other guys, Dwayne Eskridge, Tutu Atwell, De'Ami Brown, Amari Rodgers, Nico Collins, Anthony Schwartz, Dez Fitzpatrick, all drafted ahead of Amon-Ra St. Brown. And I don't know if there's any other deep sleepers that you guys like, but
you named a couple.
Yeah.
Yep, that's one.
Who?
Nico Collins definitely has a shot to be a top 2 target getter for the Texans. He's going to be interesting. Big guy, physical guy, not a burner, but he's interesting. And then Anthony Schwartz could end up having a significant role for the Browns if they move on from Jarvis Landry and they don't do much to replace anybody in the receiving core. Donovan Peoples-Jones is going to be popular. Schwartz could be right behind him, could be a good late-round pick. Again, quarterback issue there. Quarterback issue in both places, but guy who might see more work than what anybody's really thinking about right now could end up being helpful at least to speculate on to begin the season.
I think Diami Brown and your guy, Adam, Amari Rodgers, could be in good spots too. You know what I mean? We'll see what the Washington Commanders, what their receiving core ends up looking like. You know, and I mean, you got to be hopeful that they do the Deebo Samuel route with Curtis Samuel, because he was doing that before Deebo Samuel was doing it in Carolina, just not the same success. So if he's healthy, you know, clearly he's going to be a part of their wide receiver core. But I think Diami Brown could also be, you know, either the two or the three. But if he's, you know, more of a traditional receiver than Curtis Samuel is, he's somebody that you should put on your radar with a late round pick. And then Amari Rodgers, obviously, you know, if the Packers, they're most likely losing Valdes-Scantling. We'll see if they lose Lazard. You know, obviously, there's a chance they lose Davante Adams. So we could be looking at a total overhaul of their receiving core and maybe a reset button on what their offense looks like. But with a late-round pick, Amari Rodgers could be in a really good spot, even if it's Jordan Love or, you know, somebody of that, you know, caliber throwing in passes.
Yeah, so let me update everybody on our poll question of the day. Looking at the 2021 rookie wide receivers, we'll put Chase and Waddle as the top two in next season's fantasy rankings. Who should be wide receiver three? Very, very different results depending on the platform. Okay, it is very tight on Twitter. Amon-Ra St. Brown has pulled ahead of Devontae Smith at 36.2%. Devontae Smith is at 35.4%. Elijah Moore, 25.2%. On Facebook, it is an Amon-Ra St. Brown, I guess, getting close to a landslide. He has 86 votes. Elijah Moore has 53 votes, and Devontae Smith has 32 votes. So Amon-Ra St. Brown has 54 more votes than Devontae Smith. So it's interesting. Dave, who's number three for you in this class?
It's Elijah Moore. I'm expecting him to be more of a full-time player for the Jets. I think that Jets offense can be significantly better with Wilson in his second year, offensive line coming back healthy, if not being bulked up even more. I love the talent. I really do. With St. Brown, there were some amazing weeks toward the end of the year. Everybody knows that. Those weeks came without TJ Hockenson on the field. Most of those weeks came without DeAndre Swift on the field. And their receivers coach, Antoine Randall-El, everybody remembers that name, who's been playing fantasy for a long time. He's already said he wants the Lions to draft two wide receivers and sign another in free agency. So there's going to be some serious target competition for St. Brown. I have a hard time believing he's going to get 9+ targets per game.
Yeah. While I'm on Facebook, guys, it is three friends' birthdays. Should I write on their wall? What do you think?
How close are friends are they?
None are close. One girl, we went to high school together and college together. I like her. She's very...
She's one of the Forerunner girls?
No.
No, you didn't take her to South Beach?
No, she wasn't in that group.
She the one that got away?
No.
Oh.
Just a friend. I like her. I'm going to write on her wall. I'm going to skip the other two. I don't really...
Wow. I don't know if you should do that. Now you're like public place saying that you're not going to wish them a happy birthday. All you have to do is write happy birthday.
I'm not going to do it. They didn't write on my freaking wall.
Yeah. So maybe you should consider being friends with them on Facebook.
I'm not going to lie. I don't know who one of them is. I did click on the profile. I know who this is. Yeah, they're all fine. I'm going to write on her wall, happy birthday, you are cool. Okay.
It's not a middle school yearbook.
Well, I mean, we went to high school together. It is kind of a yearbook. All right, so anyway, let's read some...
Have a neat summer.
...news and notes, and then your and your emails. A bunch of reports out there. Mike Florio of Pro Football Focus said the Dolphins were, before the Brian Flores lawsuit, I guess threw things... you know, into chaos. They were trying to trade for Sean Payton and sign Tom Brady. That would have been a lot of fun. Kyler
sure.
Murray. Yeah. Yeah. Kyler Murray said, hey, I'm sure the Giants wanted to do that too. Kyler Murray wants to stay with the Cardinals as long as he gets a long-term contract extension. So it looks like fences are being mended there.
He's playing definitely there in 2022. We'll see what happens after that.
Tampa Bay left guard.
I'm scared for him to play anywhere else. I want him in Arizona. I want him in that offense.
Tampa Bay left guard Ali Marpet retired. Surprising.
Yeah, that's wild.
So their offense probably won't be as good as it was last year. I think the Marpet loss is the biggest one there. Seattle expected to re-sign left tackle Dwayne Brown. San Francisco could keep Jimmy Garoppolo. Right, let's talk about the Niners, Jamie. Schefter saying they could keep Garoppolo, and also Raheem Mostert's agent says he's been in contact with the Niners about a reunion. So let's just bring the band back together. What do you think?
The Mostert situation would not surprise me at all because, you know, I can see a scenario of, you know, he's been good for them when healthy, obviously provides a veteran presence. You know, Trey Sermon did not, you know, fit the bill for them last year and what they were hoping for. Elijah Mitchell was a star, but he missed a lot of time, missed six games. So with Wilson, also a free agent, I could see Mostert coming back on a cheap deal and, you know, being just a pain in the butt for us because he'll get, you know, probably enough work that it'll make things tough on Elijah Mitchell. The Garoppolo thing is probably more of a smokescreen to drum up interest. I'd be very surprised if he's back. But again, you know, I mean, this is where we've been hearing throughout the course of the 2021 season. We talked about this last week that one faction wanted to draft a quarterback. One either wanted a different quarterback or not to draft a quarterback at all. And that's the GM and the coach. And so I'm sure that question is going to be asked. I will be standing right in front of either Kyle Shanahan or John Lynch. I forget when they're speaking, either Tuesday or Wednesday at the combine, but you know, I'm certainly interested to hear what they have to say about that because we're all excited to see what Trey Lance could offer, and hopefully he will be the starting quarterback for the 49ers from a fantasy perspective.
Dave, it could be Jameis Winston back in New Orleans, according to Jeremy Fowler of ESPN. Many around the league expect the Saints to bring back Jameis Winston. How would you feel about that?
I'd be mildly interested. I mean, we know the receiving core should be better because Michael Thomas should be healthy and back and participating. Worried about the left tackle situation there because I think Teron Armstead's going to go. The rest of the offensive line's okay. We're going to find out just how vital Sean Payton was to that offense in New Orleans. And I'm thinking that he was a pretty, pretty big part of the success there, especially when Winston had some of his big games. I'm sure a lot of it was coming up with a game plan that just it ended up being perfectly right, and Winston paid off. He'll have some boom weeks, but he's not somebody that I plan on targeting in typical one quarterback drafts. Look, I'm going to look him up in super flex drafts for sure. Absolutely going to be on my radar there, but I'm going to take the second year quarterbacks ahead of him for sure, just on their upside of being, you know, potentially awesome for fantasy.
Washington, according to ESPN's John Keim, has not made much progress on a long-term deal for right guard Brandon Scherff, so he could be one of the top linemen on the move this offseason. And this was interesting. Here's some less interesting stuff. Eric Bieniemy is returning as Kansas City's offensive coordinator. Sean McVay is not retiring. That's great. And this more interesting, we'll talk about this one here. Michael Sean Duggar of The Athletic, hope I pronounced that right. He's a Seahawks writer. And he wrote on what used to be Roto World, I don't know what NBC Sports Edge now, just said, you know, the Athletic beat writer Michael Sean Duggar said that Chris Carson should be Seattle's lead back if healthy. And he did say that, but you should read the whole article if you can. A lot of it is salary based. You know, Carson's going to make more money than Penny if they bring back Penny. And a lot of it is health based as well. But Penny was so good down the stretch. But he did say that Carson, this is the Seahawks beat writer for the Athletic, should be the lead back. Carson should be the lead back if healthy. Jamie, what do you think? If both Carson and Penny are back, you think we get like a 60-40 split? What do you think it looks like?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised that's the ratio. You know, I mean, we've been hearing, though, basically for the last, you know, 2+ years of they want Penny to take the job. They want him to be the guy. You know, I don't know how much of that is because of the investment that they made and they don't want to look stupid. But, you know, talent, I'm sure, matters. And, you know, one guy was a first-round pick. One guy was, I think, a seventh-round pick or sixth-round pick. You know, Carson was a you know, late round selection. So I would love to see Penny come back healthy for a full season and be the guy that we saw. That would be fun. But, you know, don't discount what Chris Carson's been. He's been a very good fantasy running back. He's been good for them. You know, he showed you he can catch passes. You know, we saw that at the beginning of last season. We saw it at times in 2019 as well. But this neck injury is scary. You know, I mean, you know, you've heard some things that it could be, you know, something that's long term and maybe more significant than they are letting on. So we'll find out, you know, in the next couple of weeks what offer they make to Penny. If Penny decides to come back, you know, I think that'll be telling because, like you said, what Chris Carson's salary is right now. But wouldn't be surprising if that's a position that they address because we know Pete Carroll still wants to run the ball, which gets very frustrating for us.
Well, what's not frustrating for us are your emails. We appreciate that.
I want to go back to something real quick just on the Bucks. You know, you mentioned that they're going to look different. This is what they're potentially having to replace from last year. If everybody leaves that are free agents, their quarterback, their top two running backs, arguably the top receiver, but certainly 1A, their top two tight ends, their left guard, their center, their right guard, one of their defensive ends, or I'm sorry, both their defensive ends, one of their outside linebackers, one of their cornerbacks, one of their safeties. That's what's potentially gone of their start. Of their that's starting it? 22. Of their starting 22. The only ones that are back are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9 of their top 22 guys if they all come back.
Don't worry. They've got Blaine Gabbert. They've got Scotty Miller. Everything's going to be all right.
They returned every starter from their Super Bowl team. They had their window to win another one, and they will not return every starter this year. All right, time for your emails. fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. This is from Brian. Where's Brian from?
Pensacola, Florida.
This is the first time that we've been allowing keepers in our league. It's a super flex league. PPR, two running backs, three receivers. I can keep Javonte Williams for a fifth rounder, Jalen Waddle in the ninth, or Travis Etienne in the 12th. So what do you think here? Jalen Waddle in the – probably not going to be Etienne, I'm guessing, but Javonte in the fifth, Waddle in the ninth, or Etienne in the 12th, PPR.
Waddle.
It's Waddle unless Javonte is clearly the only main back in Denver. And Denver improves on its quarterback situation.
This is from Matt. And Matt is from?
Zizix, California.
What round is too early to draft Gabriel Davis in a dynasty startup, super flex, 12 team, full PPR, tight end premium league? When
round one is too early.
Gabriel Davis go.
Round two is too early. Round three is too early. Round four is too early. I think round five is too early too.
Five or six probably makes sense.
Well, we just did a
joy of six.
We did a super flex startup dynasty mock draft last week or something like that. It was not tight end premium. But let me see where Gabriel Davis went in this draft. I will check on that and get back to you. This is from Shannon. Where's Shannon from, Dave?
Shannon is from French Lick, Indiana.
I love this question. I think this is tough. Four keeper options. He needs three. It is a two wide receiver, two running back league. It is non-PPR. Pick three. Chase, Jonathan Taylor, Cooper Kupp, Nick Chubb. Who the heck are you throwing back? You got Jonathan Taylor, Nick Chubb, Ja'Marr Chase, and Cooper Kupp, and you have to throw back one in non-PPR.
Chubb.
It's either Chubb or Chase, and I think it's better if you stick with Chase for the long-term deal.
Okay, Gabriel Davis.
Round nine.
That's great.
Right after Chase Claypool and Brandon Cooks. And just before Kadarius Toney. Who would you rather have, Gabriel Davis or Kadarius Toney?
Today it's Davis.
Yeah.
And last one is from Jacob. Nobody wants to tell us where they're from anymore, Dave. Where's Jacob from?
Jacob is from Vancouver. That's in Canada.
Canada, yeah. Full PPR, 10-team Superflex League. Should I trade Deontay Johnson and pick 107 or 1.7 for Jalen Waddle and a 2023 third-round rookie pick? So give up Deontay Johnson and the seventh pick of the draft, rookie draft, for Jalen Waddle and a 2023 third-round pick. Now, he also has pick 1.2 this year, so he still has a first-rounder.
I'm going to keep Johnson in the rookie pick. I love Waddle. Love his potential. I'm assuming it full PPR in a 10-team league. Look, Deontay Johnson, I think, can still have some really good value in a PPR league. So you're giving up on him, and you're giving up on what should be a pretty good rookie at 107.
I'd like to see what the Steelers quarterback situation is first. So if he can wait, I would wait.
Okay, if he can't wait, the deadline is tomorrow.
I would hold.
It's not a leap year, is it?
No.
No.
Right. Tomorrow's March.
That's great. Hey, fun show. Dave, thanks for coming on.
It was my pleasure, guys. Always happy to hang
out
with you.
The utility backup guy. Good stuff. Jamie, thank you as always.
Thank you, Adam. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I will write on your wall for your birthday. Pretty confident in that. And thanks to everybody for watching and listening. We're back tomorrow to talk about the rookie tight ends, which is, you know, basically just one guy. But we'll talk about the rookie tight ends.
There's two guys. Hey, I don't think you've ever written on my wall on Facebook, birthday or not. Jerk.
I'm going to go write on your wall right now.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Okay.
Make that happen.
Make it good so I can post it on
Dave, Facebook. How is Michigan State, by the way?
Cold. It was cold, but some incredible experiences. Mad props to Sam Sklar, who covers the Spartans football team and hockey team for their student newspaper. He was awesome. Spent a lot of time with us on his 21st birthday, no less. There might be a story about this coming out in a future read for a beverage that we promote.
How did it go for your son, though? Does he like it?
I think he likes it. I'm not sure if he's going to stay with it, though.
All right. Well, good. I hope it was a good experience. Looking at colleges must be fun. All right, we'll talk to you all tomorrow on
great.
The Kyle Pitts Show.
Thinking about getting a second job.
Yeah, as long as I'm not paying for it, I'm sure looking would be very fun.
Right.
See you later, everybody.
New CBS Monday.
NCIS! Here's where we can see them!
NCIS and NCIS Hawaii return with all new cases.
Double tap to the chest, one to the head.
These guys are professionals.
All new criminals.
Violent island that got here.
Walking to paradise.
And all new crimes to be solved.
If you're watching this, I've been arrested.
What are the charges?
Just one. Murder.
New NCIS and NCIS Hawaii. Monday, starting at 9/8 Central. On CBS. And streaming on Paramount+.